Flynn. Part 4. Imaginary Enemies.
My limited experience as a private investigator, I can't say I've given much thought to disorders of the mind. See, the cases I deal with are mostly to do with greed or deception. So it's just a matter of collecting evidence which supports a reasonable hypothesis. Identify the motive, and the finger of fate points to the guilty party. Most of the time. But what happens when the victim appears to be playing with a short deck, and everybody claims her enemies are imaginary?
Katrina!
I never understand.
Oh, Katrina!
What the hell?
Help me! The thieves, they've broken in again! Katrina! Katrina, where are you?
Who's this?
Why are you doing this to me? Now, don't come any closer. I'll use my... Maybe this button. Oh, please. Please, someone. Please.
Hello?
Who is this?
Mrs. Flynn. Hedda? Hedda, is that you? It's Felicity.
Oh, you've got to help me. They broke into my home. I'm all alone.
I'll call the police.
No. They never understand. No, calm yourself.
I'll pick up my son and be right there. Lock yourself in your room.
Yes.
Mrs. Carnaby. Oh, what's going on here?
Who are you? Did you come with them? The thieves?
I am Katrina.
Katrina?
Yes. Katrina, your housekeeper. Oh. You remember me? I've been with you 20 years. Come to bed now. You had one of your spells.
I called. Where were you?
Oh, I was only gone for a few minutes. We'll talk about it in the morning.
I phoned someone.
Not the police again?
Well, you'll see. She's coming with her son. I have to lock myself in my room.
All right. I'll be up in a minute. Hello? Mrs. Thornton? This is Katrina. She had another one of her spells. She says she phoned someone. I don't want trouble. Maybe you and Mr. Eric should come. Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you.
Now, I've got a particular aversion to getting involved with my mother's flaky friends, you know what I mean? See, that's one of the reasons I live on the Blarney Boy, so I can set sail and disappear when I need to. Only, this time I was distracted. Willie Green and I were spending a lot of time together. It had nothing to do with working for old Sam's law practice.
Wait.
What?
Wait a minute. There's something you should know about what happened in Toronto.
Toronto? Can we talk about it later?
When I was in Toronto, I had an affair with the son of the senior partner of the law firm.
Look, these things happen. Just put it all behind you. Here, let me fix your pillow. Come on.
No. But I found out later he slept around with anyone he could bag. I was just another trophy for his games.
I don't care, Willie. Really, I don't. Come on.
You like me for who I am?
Yes, I like you. I like you.
He likes me. He really likes me. Oh, Glenn.
Michael? Are you in there?
Oh, my God, not now.
Who is it?
My mother. Don't say anything. Maybe she'll go away.
Well, you can't leave her out there. It's dark.
Michael! I can see a light in there.
Oh, let her in. I'll fix my makeup. Oh,
that's just great. What is it, Mother?
Come with me, Michael. It's an emergency.
Oh, let me guess. One of your friends has just lost her dog, or is it a cat this time?
Thieves! Heather's place!
Oh, not her again.
She thinks there's been another break-in. Hurry!
I'm not alone, Mother. This is, W.P. Green. We work together.
Pleased to meet you, Mrs. Flynn.
All right, bring her along.
I didn't say I'd take the job.
Hurry up! Now, the car's over here.
Hedda Carnaby was the first young woman my mother befriended after she immigrated to British Columbia from England. They were bridesmaids at each other's weddings and supported each other through thick and thin for almost 50 years. The most recent crisis was the death of Hedda's adoring husband, Charles, a successful investor. The old lady continued living in their impressive mansion in Vancouver's Shaughnessy area.
Oh, I'm so glad you come, Mrs. Flynn. Mrs. Carnaby, she flipped out again.
Another one of her spells.
Oh, yes. She was asleep when I go out for some groceries like usual. I was only gone for a few minutes.
Katrina?
Who is it, Katrina?
It's me, Hedda. I've brought Michael and his friend.
Well, Mrs. Carnaby, this is W.P. Green, my associate.
Pleased to meet you.
That's so many names. Did I ask you to come?
The old lady was dressed in a robe and slippers. Her thinning gray hair was disheveled and obviously missing a customary wig. She seemed dazed as she came down the stairs.
You phoned me. Something about thieves. I think maybe you were having one of your little spells. Oh, I do wish you'd see a doctor.
Well, I did hear voices.
And you hit them with your cane. Oh, Mrs. Flynn, you should see the broken glass I clean up.
Go make some tea, Katrina.
Make us some tea. She never listens.
Perhaps Michael could take a quick look around, just to relieve your mind, Hedda. Michael, please.
I just went through the motions for the old lady's sake. Everything in the basement was clean and particularly well organized, except for a wicker basket of freshly washed clothes in the laundry room. I checked the second floor. Found Hedda's room. Four-poster bed. Antique dresser. Drawers. Right. There it was. An expensive wig. Real hair. I checked some medicine bottles. Nothing out of the ordinary. But I slipped a small porcelain drinking cup in my pocket. Something to check out later. Well, no sign of intruders anywhere.
Why won't anyone believe me?
Maybe if we knew what these voices said, Mrs. Carnaby.
Well, I don't know. They mumble to each other. And when I get downstairs, they stop.
Dear Hedda, you've been through such a strain since Charlie died.
Wait a minute, Mother. Let's not jump to conclusions. Look around, Mrs. Carnaby. Is there anything missing?
Well, there was something. Why can't I remember?
Oh, no.
Mrs. Carnaby?
Look at the wall. Over there near the staircase. Three of my most precious paintings gone.
I checked the wall the old lady referred to, and sure enough, there was some indication something had been hanging there. When was the real question? There was some discoloration of the wood paneling. Three small paintings might have hung there.
That's right! The Renoir oil sketches. Three of them.
There, you see?
I'll get it. Were you expecting somebody, Mrs. Carnaby?
Oh, maybe they've come back.
Oh, there, Mrs. Carnaby. There's nothing to worry about.
Can I help you?
Who the hell are you? Where's my aunt?
Eric!
Aunt Hedda, thank God you're all right.
Mrs. Flynn, isn't it? Understood, Auntie called you. Sorry about that. These episodes are getting more frequent.
My mother withheld comment, but introduced WP and me to the Thorntons. Eric was Hedda's nephew. He and his wife were in their 40s, well-dressed, and spoke with the authority of people of substance. They also arrived in a Mercedes. Eric was balding and sported a paunch, befitting someone who believed in the good life. He owned a chain of appliance stores, it turned out. His wife, Alice, was a horsewoman, judging from the boots and the equestrian aroma.
I was in the bar nursing Hellgate Morn through a spell of the croup when I got Katrina's phone call.
Katrina? I should have known.
We jumped in the Mercedes and took off like a bat out of hell.
Where do you live?
On a horse farm near Langley.
But that's at least an hour's drive.
That's right. So, Auntie, what happened? Katrina said you heard voices in the house again.
That's right. They came back for the paintings this time. See? The Renoir sketches are gone.
The Renoir sketches? On the wall near the staircase. I remember them being there.
You see? I have a witness.
Of course they were hanging there. But surely you remember.
Remember what?
You gave them to us for safekeeping after the first incident. They're at the farm, locked in Eric's safe.
She's right, Auntie.
Tea is ready. Oh, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Thornton. She told you, yes, the voices?
It's true. I did hear them. And the paintings. You're lying.
Auntie, please.
You're all against me.
No, we're not, Hedda, dear.
Katrina, help me get her up the stairs.
It's Eric. It's Eric. He wants my money.
Aunt Hedda, that's not true.
No, leave me alone.
Alice was a nurse. She'll give her a sleeping pill. You have no idea what we've been through in the last few weeks.
The poor woman reminded me of my uncle Liam. Same symptoms. Memory loss. Paranoia. Violent outbursts. I only saw him a couple of times before the end, but I had to sympathize with the people who cared for him.
We've tried to get her to see a doctor ever since she started having these spells.
And when was that, Mr. Fulton?
Right after Uncle Charlie died. I've been over here quite a few times since then, trying to sort out his things for her.
Where did she get the idea you wanted her money?
Oh, I goofed on that one. She was down with the flu a couple months ago. Uh-huh. Without thinking, I suggested she give me temporary power of attorney so I could pay her bills. Uh-huh. Just until she was on her feet again. I've never heard the end of it.
I think she'll be all right now, at least for the rest of the night. Katrina will keep an eye on her. Then we'll come back in the morning. Katrina will let you in. We're going back to the farm now to make arrangements for the horses.
We discussed it on the drive into town. Mm-hmm. Alice will pick up her nursing supplies and keep an eye on things here for a few days.
I think we should rehang the Renoir sketches, don't you?
Yeah, good idea.
Imagine her forgetting she gave them to us for safekeeping.
Well, thanks for all your help, Mrs. Flynn. Maybe after a good sleep, she'll be more like herself.
I hope so.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Michael, don't get in the car. Just slip across the street behind that tree and keep an eye on the house.
In the rain? Why?
Just until everyone settles down. Then you can join us back at your office.
The office?
Hedda slipped me a letter when we first arrived. I didn't have a chance to read it. But I think she's in more trouble than some people want us to know.
Nighttime surveillance in the rain, my favorite outdoor sport. My mother has a wonderful knack of drawing you up short just as you think you're going to wriggle off the hook. Well, it didn't take long for the Thorntons to pack it in. A couple of minutes later, the lights went out in the house. Now, I was thinking about taking off for a hot mug of coffee when someone came out of the side door. A chunky woman in a kerchief and raincoat slipped over to the two-story garage and went inside. Was it Katrina? I was too far away to be certain. Suddenly, a light appeared in the window of the upper room. In a moment, it was out again. A taxi pulled up. I could see them approaching now. It was Katrina, with a stocky-built man in a dark jacket and cap. Carried a duffel bag. Before he got in the taxi, he gave her a quick kiss on the cheek.
You live telephone?
Yes. You stay in the hotel room. I will get the money.
Yeah.
Now, what the hell was that all about?
Sam, you drew up both Charlie and Hedda's wills. Mm-hmm. What do you make of the note?
Well, handwriting's a little shaky, but her request is clear. She wants me to draw up a new will. And all of her estate goes to the McNeil Research Center.
That's the place that specializes in care for the elderly.
That's right.
I thought she was afraid of doctors.
Oh, her husband supported the center. She was talking about funding a new wing.
This must be Flynn. Man, you're soaked through.
Well, it paid off. Katrina has a boyfriend stashed away in a room over the garage. Uh-huh. Or at least she did. He took off.
Well, where did he go?
Sorry, Mother, I don't know. I couldn't outrun the taxi.
Well, if there were thefts, maybe he was the one behind them, but Katrina, I can't see her stooping so low.
Well, maybe Hedda said something about changing her will.
But Katrina has been with Hedda for 20 years.
And she'll have nothing to show for it. There's motive.
Now, what about Eric Thornton?
He's Hedda's only next of kin.
No. All this is pure speculation. The lady's obviously confused. Well, maybe she just forgot about Eric and Katrina. Anyway, I'll have to talk to her before I do anything.
Right. The way she's been acting, you'll have to decide if she's competent.
We can go first thing in the morning. If Katrina's asleep, I've got a spare key. Come along, Michael. I'll drop you off.
Right.
Oh, don't worry about the office. I'll hold the fort.
Willie, listen, do me a favor, will you?
Sure.
Look. Just to be on the safe side, I'm going to track down Katrina's boyfriend tomorrow morning. Sam and my mother can handle things without me. While I'm out, could you run a financial check on Eric Thornton?
Flynn, the man has it made. You saw his car and the horse ranch and the string of appliances.
Just in case.
Okay, but you owe me.
Right. Oh, and this cup I took from Hedda's nightstand. Can you get it to that friend of yours at the university lab?
What did your last slave die of?
Thanks.
Michael, are you coming?
Next morning was a typical West Coast spring day, gray and wet with a little fog on the side. I had checked out the cab company Katrina's boyfriend used. A dispatcher friend told me the guy had ended up on the waterfront district. No particular destination. So I began asking around the hotels and takeout dives. I was on the third block when I spotted Katrina. She was going into the Bonnie George Hotel. I caught up to her on the second floor just as she was knocking on the door of room 215.
Katrina! Hi there, Katrina.
Mr. Flynn, what are you doing here?
Katrina, who is that? Police?
Hey, wait a minute. I'm not a cop. I just have a few questions.
Leave him alone.
I jump ship. This not fault my sister.
Your sister?
Yes. I help Carl make new start. You ask Mr. Eric. He give me money, and they have to find immigration lawyer.
Not criminal. Want new life in Canada. Jump ship only way.
Okay, calm down. Look, Katrina, the voices and the break-ins at Mrs. Carnaby's place.
Oh, always she says it happens when I am out. She is a crazy old woman.
Now, when you go out, does anyone know that you're not in the house?
I always call Mr. Eric. Those are his instructions.
And today, when he gave you the money for your brother, did Eric come to the house?
Both. Mr. Eric and wife. They don't leave Mrs. Carnaby alone all day.
Talk about misreading a situation. Here I was chasing a Polish ship jumper and his sister when I should have been going after her boss. But first I had to touch base with Sam and my mother. I grabbed a cab to Sam's office. When I got there, I was met with a couple of long faces. What happened?
Well, we
got there early, so I used the key Hedda gave me. I always walk right in.
We mistook the Thornton's doctor for an intruder. And your mother kicked him.
She was screaming. Oh, she wouldn't let him touch her. I could have told them that.
Anyway, the upshot of it all was that Eric threw us out of the house.
Is the doctor still there?
No. He came out as we were getting into the car.
Well, Sam, I have to know something.
Yeah?
In Hedda's existing will, is Eric the chief beneficiary?
Why, yeah. Why do you ask?
I think he's behind all this. Katrina's in the clear.
Hello? Oh, hi, Dan. What have you got? Traces of what? I see.
Was there something in the drinking cup?
Yeah, I got it. Thanks, Dan.
What did he find?
Well, mostly Horlicks.
What's that?
A nighttime drink. It helps you sleep. Used to have it in England.
Yeah, but that's not all he found. There were minute traces of phencyclidine.
But that's PCP.
That's right.
Well, where the hell would you get angel dust? It's illegal. Wait a minute. Where's our pharmaceutical encyclopedia?
Hmm? It must be under here. I was using it in the Lampton case.
All right, got it. Okay, PHE. All right, here we are. Phencyclidine, PCP, angel dust. Mm-hmm. Symptoms resemble dementia such as Alzheimer's, paranoia, auditory hallucination, violent behavior, severe depression. Oh. That's it. Eric and Alice Thornton are making it look like Hedda has Alzheimer's.
Now, hold on a minute. I thought PCP wasn't available for medical use. Where would they get it? Buying it on the street would be pretty risky.
I read an article a few years ago. PCP was used by vets to treat horses, a kind of anesthetic.
Horses? Good Lord, it's Alice.
And Eric. Give me the spare key, Mother. Oh. Now, Willie, come with me. Sam, you call the police. Tell them there's no time to lose.
Yeah, okay.
All right, let's go in quietly.
Wouldn't it be better to wait for the police?
We might be too late. Listen. We couldn't tell where the sound was coming from, but the voices were real. The old woman wasn't crazy after all.
Help.
It took a few minutes for our eyes to adjust to the dim light. The drapes were drawn and the lights were off on the main floor. It felt wrong. Then we caught sight of Alice, standing near the railing at the top of the stairs.
Come over to me, Aunt Hedda. Come on. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Don't let them hurt me.
Come on. Just a few steps more.
Willie and I made our way up the carpeted staircase. Now we could see Hedda shuffling towards Alice. She clutched her dressing gown to her chest as if it would protect her against the evil around her. Neither woman saw us.
Just a few steps more.
Make them go away.
The voices won't go away until you confront them face to face, Auntie.
I tried before.
That's when you were alone. I'm here now to help you. Come over here to me.
There was that prickly feeling on the back of my neck. Whatever the Thorntons were up to, it was coming to a head. We wanted them to incriminate themselves, but could we do that without jeopardizing Hedda's life? Then I felt a sharp jab in the back. It was Willie.
Lee, what?
Where's Eric?
I don't know.
Look, something moved in the doorway off the landing.
She was right. A shadowy figure lurked in the bedroom doorway opposite to where Alice was standing. I knew what they were up to. Now they were going to push Hedda over the railing, make it look like an accident.
What did I tell you, Auntie? The voices are fading now. Just look over the railing. Look over the railing and show them that you're not afraid.
There wasn't time to warn the old lady. As she bent over the second floor railing, Eric made his move.
Stop him, Flynn. He's going to push her over.
I took the rest of the stairs three at a time. Then I cut right and hammered him, just as he reached out to send Hedda Carnaby to her doom. It was like a timed end run with the pulling guard breaking through.
This all wrong. She was walking in her sleep.
Tell it to the police.
Yes, we finally got Hedda to spend some time in hospital. She even had a blood test. As we suspected, it revealed traces of PCP in her system. Later, the police found the source of the drug at the Thornton's ranch. And with Alice turning crown witness, the conviction was in the bag.
So, I wasn't really crazy.
No, of course not. The Thorntons simply treated your drinking mug with minute traces of PCP. And when Katrina used the cup to mix your nighttime drink, you had a reaction.
They wanted to make it look like you were demented. Yeah,
so your accidental death wouldn't seem suspicious.
Look, what about the voices?
Eric had them recorded on audio tape. The police found a small speaker system with a remote control hidden in one of the air ducts.
The parts were from one of his appliance stores.
How did he know when to turn on the tape?
Well, Katrina always phoned them before she went out. Uh-huh. See, that's how he knew when Mrs. Carnaby was alone, and no one else ever heard the sounds.
But why did they torment me so?
It's the old story, I'm afraid. Eric lost a bundle in the stock market. He thought this was an easy way to get at your money.
You know, I never did like that boy. Thank you, Michael, for getting to the bottom of it all.
It's a joy to be blessed with a son who has an answer for everything.
Mother, please.
Look at his face.
You've just heard Flynn, Part 5, Imaginary Enemies, by Lyle and Barbara Brown, and starring Boyd Norman as Michael Flynn, Colleen Winton as W.P. Green, and Robert Clothier as Sam. Special guest Joy Coghill played Hedda, and Shirley Broderick played Mrs. Flynn. You also heard Georgina Hegedos as Katrina, Eric Trask as Eric, Iris Quinn-Bernard as Alice, and Yvonne Horsky as Carl, with Bill Samples as the policeman. The series production assistants are Dagmar Kafanka and Loretta Joyce. The recording engineer is Chris Cutras, with sound effects by Joe Silva and Daniel Imbeau. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the script consultant is James W. Nickel. Flynn is produced and directed in Vancouver by Don Kowalczyk. The executive producer in Toronto is Bill Howell.